Good morning, everyone. I'd first like to thank my advisors for helping me enormously during this work. Basically, here I'm here to talk about modern multi-core systems and the performance transparency challenges that they have. Mostly, what we have today is, for example, here we have multiple processors in a machine. Each processor can have multiple cores. Each core, as we've seen before, can have multiple thread, like hardware context on those cores. And all of these have different sharing patterns. There is a lot of shared resources in terms of different levels of cache, memory bandwidth, the controller itself, the interprocessor interconnect, and so on. And from the experience of every parallel programmer out here, it's not straightforward to use any of these resources in a very predictable way to maximize your performance. And this gets even worse if you have multiple applications running on the same machine, because they can compete for resources in different ways and cause all sorts of conflicts that's not exactly transparent to you or under your control when you write the code. So there's a level of operating system control that's needed for all of these situations, and that's kind of where my work sort of focuses on. So let's take a look at what are these resource sharing. So like we just saw some time back, simultaneous multithreading can be both beneficial and very bad for applications. It depends on what type of applications you have. Here we have like each color is like basically one physical core. It has multiple hardware contexts that share very closely two levels of private caches that are the smallest but also the fastest in the system. And if they cooperatively use the cache, well, great, but this often does not happen and you sort of end up ruining your performance because of contention. Here we have intra-processor resource sharing, where we have the last level cache, the interconnect, the memory controller itself, and the local memory bandwidth that are shared between all the cores inside of that one processor. And similarly, if you look at inter-processor resource sharing, we have, to a large extent, the interconnect and the memory bandwidth that's shared. And also, depending on your application, you can also like go into another processor's last level cache and have access to all of that as well. So what's the implication of all of this? Why is all of this important? Why does it screw with performance? This is a demonstration of one specific machine. Numbers can be different, but the orders of magnitude is largely the same. We can see that anything that's inside a physical core can be satisfied in like a few cycles, go to a last level cache, a few tens of cycles, go to local memory, 100 cycles. The second you have to cross the interprocessor interconnect, your latency start increasing a lot. Remote memory accesses are almost twice as expensive, and if you're accessing something in the remote last level cache, depending on where it is in the hierarchy itself, it can be extremely expensive. And this is like an order of magnitude difference. So if you just take, let's say, a sample application where you have two threads, by default Linux, because of wanting to balance load and improve resource utilization, what it does, it spread load across sockets. So this would be like your default way of running this application. And what you're going to have here is you're going to incur a lot of latency if these two threads are communicating a lot. However, if they're not communicating a lot, then you are getting better resource utilization and maximization of resources. But if you do communicate, it isn't the case. Clearly, this is much, much better. And if you do run on hyperthreads, and if you do not contend, that's sort of very important. It's not. This figure might show as though you're going to complete very fast, but the level of close sharing the threads have in a hyperthread, like when running on sibling hyperthreads, is actually very significant. And even a slight increase in load can result in very, very large performance reductions, even if they shared data like between each other. So. Targeting pretty much this whole resource utilization thing, we actually proposed something last year, which basically sort of uses performance counters, but not in a direct way, because they often do not give exactly what you're looking for. But we made sort of a low overhead, but sort of interpretation and manipulation of counters to get whatever information we wanted from them, and then map processes to CPUs such that the communication costs are low, resource contention is reduced, and memory access latencies is much lesser. However, it did come with a lot of limitations in the sense that what we did was try to reduce all communication, which is not the best thing to do, because if you have multiple applications sharing the same machine, the implication of data sharing for that application, even if it has any, can be different for the different applications based on how much they're able to absorb the latency. So that's something that we did not have in our work last year. And we did not look at hyperthreading at all. The contributions of our work right now is we introduce new metrics to sort of identify latency tolerance of an application and try to prioritize different applications based on the impact that the latency tolerance has. We also introduce phases. A lot of phase detection goes on to add hysteresis to ensure that you avoid reacting to transient phases. This is something that I've not discussed a lot in the paper, in the presentation, but it goes into more detail in the paper how this phase detection is important in effectively using the metrics themselves. And we also have hyperthreading aware cost and drawbacks analysis that helps us use them much better. So in order to venture into this entire domain, we introduce one micro benchmark that we have where it has two threads, and each thread sort of ping-pongs data between to the other thread, and there's also a private computation, thread private computation that goes on between them. So by changing the ratio of the shared computation versus the private computation, you get to share, vary the amount of the traffic that they generate between each other, and by default, they are placed on two separate sockets, like we've seen before, and this figure shows what happens if you consolidate them either on two physical cores on the same socket or put them on hyperthreads. And something that's very straightforward is sometimes hyperthreading can be even better than using two physical cores. And sometimes hyperthreading can be so bad that even if you share data, you'd want to put them across two sockets but not put them on hyperthreads, because they sort of compete for the same pipeline and the same execution units and can result in a lot of cache pollution and so on. And those caches being much more smaller can be a lot more sensitive to all of this. So this says for any application, how you would schedule that application is not very straightforward. You cannot directly infer just based on how much traffic they generate, how you want to place it. Secondly, how do we prioritize applications? Can we prioritize them straightforward using the current activity that they generate? No, because we generated two versions of the same sort of micro benchmark that I talked about before, where the one on top is slightly different in its private computation. So what we can see is for the same current activity, not only do you have vastly different impacts in terms of the speed up that you experience, but you also have the one below would require to be on the same socket but not on hyperthreads. The other one would prefer to be on hyperthreads. So you cannot really infer a lot from just seeing someone's current activity. So in order to help us for our scheduling, we sort of add two more metrics to the mix. One we call stalls per coherence activity. This is something that in theory would help you identify how much you're stalling on coherence, how much you're sensitive to coherence, and how much latency you're able to handle despite all the data sharing that you have. The second is instructions per cycle. It's a very common sort of metric that generalizes how much compute you use. So we use these two and augment it to along with the coherence activity to sort of help us analyze and prioritize applications. So task placement, like we saw before, different times you'd need to do different things. Based on our micro benchmarks on our machine, we sort of ended up with fixing two thresholds, one for SPC, one for IPC. SPC sort of, if you set it at a high enough level, you can detect when you're actually when you're sharing so much data that it's almost synergistic and you'd actually prefer them inside the same physical core on the two sibling hyperthreads that we had. Similarly, we have an IPC threshold where if your thread is more than a certain IPC, then you're using compute that is sensitive enough that you don't want to share the same physical core with another application that has similarly high IPC. So this sort of gives us some control on choosing task placement. And now moving on to prioritizing applications, how would you prioritize applications? Like, especially, I'm concerned with data sharing here because our work that was proposed before already has all of the resource utilization balancing and reduction of remote memory accesses and all of that. So how do you prioritize applications that do share data? So what we do for this is we divide the application into three categories, high, moderate, and low coherence activity. And why we need to do this is even though SPC in theory is a very good sort of way to estimate how much latency tolerance you have, it's not something that, again, the hardware gives you. You cannot measure the stalls on coherence activity. That's just not something that you get. So what we do is we measure stalls on cache, and sort of because of the very high latency that a remote cache access can have, we try to approximate it under certain circumstances to reflect what a theoretical SPC would be. So this approximation is not justified under all circumstances because you cannot always, you cannot always say the cache stalls is because of your coherence activity. So we divide the coherence activity into three parts. The high coherence activity is here, where the higher your SPC is, the higher priority is. And then this is a major share of pretty much a lot of the applications that we have. And then we want to a moderate coherence activity level where we do not have enough information to sort of approximately say this is the SPC. It's not a valid approximation anymore using the hardware counters that we have on the machine. So we sort of go back to IPC and say, if you have a higher IPC, then you're absorbing the latency a lot better. This is just like an approximation what we can do based on what we have. We'd ideally prefer to have the SPC, but we do not have it, so we resort to this. When you have low coherence activity, then you really don't have any preference as to, from the data sharing point of view, you don't have any preference as to how you place the thread. Of course, resource utilization, if you use memory bandwidth, you don't balance it and so on, but from the point of view of data sharing alone, you don't really have a preference. So where does all of our implementation sit? It sits on top of the Linux scheduler because the Linux scheduler chooses from the task pools that you have what you need to run, and we run on top of it to decide whoever runs now, where do they get to run? So it's basically a daemon that sort of manipulates where tasks get to run. Overall, we need 5 metrics from the and that we infer from the hardware performance counters. It could be inter-socket coherence activity, intra-socket stalls, and different types of memory accesses. 3 of them are not actually available directly. We sort of indirectly infer them, at least based on our machines. We try to approximately infer them. We need more hardware counters that are accessible, so we manually in the kernel sort of switch them out. The environment is we work on a Fedora Linux. It's not the most recent one, but it's not very outdated as well. Most of our development was done on the dual socket Ivy Bridge machine, which has 40 logical cores, 20 physical cores, 40 logical cores. And then we also extend our evaluation to our 4 socket machine that has 80 logical cores. That's a Haswell. We use different benchmarks, starting from micro benchmarks, just the usual spec, parsec, and a lot of machine learning and data mining algorithms, and also a service-oriented bunch of workloads based on MongoDB. And so here we have a standalone application, like an application just running by itself. We don't really expect to see a lot here because a lot of our work goes in prioritizing applications. We have multiple applications. But here we can see that you can see speed-up numbers for Linux are last year's approach, and then incrementally building from that last year's approach, finally coming to our present approach. There are only a couple of points that we have to note here is the Linux and the one that we proposed last year is not really aware of hyper-threading related stuff. So naturally, we perform well because we are able to sense contention in hyper-threads and so on. And another thing is all of these applications are evaluated on a static, best static mapping, in the sense that we run all possible maps, task to core maps, and then we see which is the best one, and then we compare all of these implementations against that. And you can see that sometimes we perform better than the static because, all of these applications don't have uniform behavior. Like, they actually have vastly different behavior that changes in time, and the phase detection sort of kicks in and is able to recognize different phases in the application. And based on that, I mean, sometimes it prefers Hyperthread, sometimes you put it on physical cores, sometimes you distribute across sockets if your memory or other resource utilizations are high. So if because you're able to sort of analyze that and react to that, you can perform even better than like a static mapping method that you have. Moving on to multiple applications, this is where sort of all of this is supposed to kick in. Like you can see the incremental benefits from having just the metrics and then the phase and then putting everything together, you can clearly see that there is incremental value in adding all of these. This is just a limited set of workloads. There's a lot more result and analysis about specific cases and why we have specific results in the paper if anyone's interested. What we can see, there are two takeaway points here. There is significant improvement overall when you look at like the whole bunch of applications together, significant improvement. And also there's an improvement in like sort of the fairness, which if you look at individual applications in each of these workloads, all of them are sort of, they run much closer to their standard, like their ideal time, because a lot of the bottlenecks is specifically targeted and removed, and they don't end up competing or interfering a lot with each other. Similar results for the Haswell machine. We have sometimes better than the best static method. And here, the fairness is more specifically observed, where you can see that the min and max are sort of displayed as whisker plots. And we can see that the min speedup of our final implementation is almost always faster than the max speedup of the previous implementation. So that is significant because that shows that you are able to sort of differentiate applications, differentiate their different phases, and you're able to give them what they want and not end up competing on resources. So this is something that was fairly validating for us, at least the results that we targeted. Overall, overhead-wise, the most overhead is incurred by just reading performance counters, which we do at an absurdly high rate, which we don't really need to, but we do it more for convenience than any other reason. The rest of the scheduling, though is significant, is done in a centralized way. It so far for 80 threads that we've had on the machine, the scalability has not come into the picture. It's not really very high overhead, but later on it may have to be distributed. But for now, all of that is not really much of a bottleneck for us. Overall, it turns out to be about a 1% overhead, which is more than enough for the kind of results that we get. I'd like to conclude by saying, I mean, the performance counters we have are not most, according to me, doesn't always give you what you want, but you can sort of work around them to approximate stuff and infer what's going on in the system. And we are able to improve performance by accurately identifying bottlenecks in applications and minimizing expense of communication, identifying impact of different things for the application's performance, and also minimizing resource contention, both on the across the processor, inside a processor, and inside Hyperthreads. Thank you.
Questions? So, let's see. So I had one question, which is, I mean, I think you guys are doing a great job with utilizing the counters that are already there. If there were counters that you would want, what would they be?
Yeah, so a lot, in fact, if you look at the stuff that we're trying to infer, the first three are not really very accurate.
Sorry?
The first three metrics here, we do not exactly get from the hardware. We sort of manipulate the counters to get sort of indirectly and approximately give us what we want. So I really like if you do get counters that say, hey, give me stalls on traffic, give me the amount of actual communication that I have going on between process and so on, it definitely would help because, no matter how much you write, how much you optimize the application, when they're running together, you sort of have to manage them. Otherwise, I mean, unless you want to manage every single resource by itself, you still have to do some operating system level management.
Makes sense. Let's thank the speaker. Thank you.